First question I want to ask is this. Do all the events that take place in our lives do so by pure chance? I think most of us would say no. Is everything that happens during our stay on earth predetermined, or we don't have a choice? I think, again, we'd say no. Did God just wind up this world like a clock and then cease to be active in its affairs? Again, I think most of us would say no. What do we have? We have a loving, all-powerful God who's still active in the lives of His people. He's responsive to our pleas. The word commonly used to describe the means by which God responds to our prayers is the word providence. Comes from a Latin word that means foresight or to foresee. God foresees what's going to happen. He foresees our needs and as a result provides for them. So when we talk about God's divine providence, we're talking about His foresight. He looks at His creation. He looks at us. He looks at His people. He knows what we need. And He provides for us. And He provides for us because He wants to accomplish His purpose in our lives. He has a purpose for us here in this world. And His providence provides for that very thing. Now we know that God has performed miraculous acts in the past, but primarily that's not how He's acted. He's acted through natural law. And sometimes He's done both, like in the days of Elijah. The Bible talks about Elijah, he did what? He asked for rain. Remember, it had been there had been a drought for years or months, and he says, he prays for rain. He prays to God for rain. Now, God could have answered that prayer by just miraculously sending rain just straight down to the ground. No clouds or anything. But is that how it happened? No, we go back and read 1 Kings. How did it happen? Elijah was looking in the distance. What did he see start to form? Clouds. And then the clouds got bigger. And then what happened out of the clouds? It rained. So there God used both the miraculous and natural law to answer Elijah's prayers. Yeah, He provided rain, but He did that through natural law. God does that. He provides through natural law. I actually titled this lesson, How God Answers Prayer, because it's one of the fundamental principles that we need to know. How does God answer prayers? Well, He answers according to His infinite wisdom. The Lord does not see as man sees. I can look at a situation, I can look at a person's life and be totally wrong. Because I don't see as God sees. He knows exactly what we need, He knows exactly when we need it, and He knows the best way to provide it. I don't. So God sees as we don't see, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have perfect knowledge, nor will I ever. So if someone were to ask me for advice for this or that, for that situation, I don't have perfect knowledge. I might tell them the very wrong thing to do. But when God answers prayer, He uses infinite wisdom because He knows exactly what's best. I don't. If you've ever asked God for something and you just knew it was the very best thing for you, and it never happened, you know what? It wasn't the very best thing for you. See, you thought you had perfect knowledge. You thought you knew this was exactly what you needed. It wasn't. God has that perfect knowledge. He knows exactly what you and I need. We don't. Sometimes we might even pray for things that are harmful to us. That not only do we not need, but would actually hurt us in the long run. Well, God knows that. See, He has infinite wisdom. He can see like you and I cannot see. And sometimes He may answer our prayers in a way we never imagined. Yeah, He answers your prayer, but certainly not in the way you thought. For instance, we may ask to be more steadfast in our faith, to be stronger in our faith. What does He do? He allows us to suffer. Because the Bible says by suffering, we can become stronger. Listen to what James chapter 1 says. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. James chapter 1. We're just going to read a couple of verses. James chapter 1. Notice what the second and third verse say. James chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. James writes, "My brethren, count it all joy." That's what he says. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, difficulties, sufferings, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance or perseverance." So when we ask God for us to be stronger and to be able to endure and to persevere, He may make us stronger by sending us trials. So that's how He may answer our prayers that way. He also may answer with simply a no. Again, because it's best for us that He says no. Paul repeatedly, the Bible says, asked to have his thorn in the flesh removed. He asked over and over again. And God kept telling him no. Why? Because it was good for Paul to have the thorn in the flesh. It was better for him to have that. Sometimes it's better that God says no. I know all the parents in here have told their kids at least once, no. Not because you didn't want them to have something, but it was because you knew it was not good for them. God does the same thing to us. We can ask for something, for some situation to change, or for whatever. And if He says no, it could be because it's not good for us. Or He may just substitute something. We may ask for X, and He gives us Y because Y is better than X. The Bible says He works that way. The Bible also says He has a different timetable than we do. You know, many of us are just very impatient, and when we pray, we expect Him to answer it immediately. Well, that's not how He works. God knows best. God knows best when and how to answer those prayers. But I've been making a huge assumption so far in this lesson. I've been assuming that we're actually praying. You know, all of what I've talked about assumes that we're actually praying. We actually are doing that. God cannot answer our prayers if we're not praying. A constant, regular prayer life is vital to us. And think about how much we're missing without it. Still staying in the book of James, notice what James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us. Some more critical information about prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16, James tells us this. He says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." What does that verse tell us? Prayer changes things. Prayer is powerful. It has an effect, he says. God is telling us that when we pray, the outcome can be different than it would have been had we not prayed. I mean, if that verse doesn't teach that, then I have no idea what the verse teaches. Prayer is powerful. The Bible also tells us that if we don't pray believing in prayer, then prayer loses its power. Go back to chapter 1 in James. Notice what he says there beginning in verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6 and following. Bible says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Here we see a person that's being depicted. It's a person with conflicting feelings. Back and forth. I believe in prayer, I don't believe in prayer. I believe in prayer, I don't believe in prayer. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's the wavering he's talking about. James here says, that man should not expect anything from God. He's a double-minded man. He's unstable. Don't let that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. You must ask in faith. You must believe that prayer actually has power and that it changes things. Otherwise, he says, don't think you will receive anything from God. It just simply won't happen. Now think about this. Just consider this thought for a minute in dealing with prayer. If God automatically gives us all the blessings we need without asking for them, then what is the use of prayer? It loses its effectiveness. It would. It would lose its effectiveness. Matthew 5:45 says, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Well, if the righteous were automatically blessed and the unrighteous cursed, what does that verse mean? What does it mean? Think about an automobile trip, or a plane trip, or a train trip, any kind of trip. If left strictly to chance, the child of God is no safer than anybody else. If left strictly to chance, everything would be the same. So without prayer, without going to God, the Lord's will for some blessing may not even be put into effect. Now, the Bible says sometimes we don't know when God acts and when He doesn't. The Bible says we can't be sure if an event is God's providence or not. That's what the entire book of Philemon tells us. We can't be sure. We do know this, though. In James chapter 4, verse 2, James says this, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." You do not have because you do not ask. The passage tells us that God did not want them to miss out on these blessings. It was His will that they have them. God wanted them to have them. I want to read a few words from Brother Guy Woods. I know some of you know who that is. He's been gone from this world for some time, but great gospel preacher. This is what he wrote in talking about these verses. He says, "From this section we learn that there are not only unanswered prayers, there are also unasked prayers." Unasked. "There are some things it's entirely proper for us to have. God wants us to have them, and He freely bestows them upon those who ask. Some try to secure to themselves the things they want and perhaps need by methods which avoid God, and thus often fail to have them. Not because they're forbidden, because they don't go to the right source. Now, I just say amen to that. That's exactly right. Not only are there unanswered prayers, there's unasked prayers. God's specific will. Sometimes it's not put into play because people do not ask. They do not ask. I want to read another quote from another gospel preacher of years ago, talking about these verses. When we contemplate the fact that by our prayers, God may actually be moved in a given direction or to set in motion a series of events, it's an astounding thought. It's an astounding thought. That's how powerful prayer can be. That's assuming we're praying, though. That is powerful. In 1 John chapter 5, toward the end of that letter, John tells us something about prayer that's also critical. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." That's a hugely important phrase, according to His will. "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." So when we pray to Him according to His will, then His will goes to work. That's what John says. It goes to work. But we have to ask in harmony with what the Bible teaches about prayer. We know for sure God will never answer our prayer with a yes if we don't ask in accordance with what the Bible teaches about prayer. He's definitely not going to. And then once we do that, we can be assured that God's going to answer in the very best way. Whether it's yes, whether it's no, whether it's now, whether it's later, whether it's a substitute, whatever, these verses say that we know He hears us. We know it. Not we assume it or we think He does, but we know He does. Absolutely. Well, knowing this, understanding this, should cause us to be more zealous in praying for the sick, in praying for our family, in praying for the church, in praying for the government, in praying for whatever. Knowing that if we pray according to His will, according to what the Bible says about prayer, He's going to hear us. Well, that should move us, that should cause us to be much more zealous in praying for all of these things. But we must ask. We must ask. I'm going to close with something Jesus said toward the very beginning of His ministry, back in Matthew chapter 7. We call it His Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, this is what Jesus is teaching the people about prayer. Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now notice what He says next. "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil," just talking about people because they're not good like God, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him. It says, know this, that your Father in heaven will give good things, notice what He says, to those who ask Him. Yes, not only are there unanswered prayers, there's unasked prayers. We must ask. We must. The privilege of prayer, though, the Bible says, is only given to an exclusive group of people. The Bible says that group of people are God's children, His family. His family. Those in the body of Christ have that direct relationship with God. Those who have placed their faith in the risen Savior, that actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And like those people on Pentecost were told to do, they repent. That's when they make that inward decision to follow Christ. They make that wonderful confession that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then they're immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And one of the great blessings that they are now given is that access to the Heavenly Father in ways no one else has. Yes, we must ask if we want to receive. This morning you may have been thinking about making that response. You may have been thinking that I need to ask for the prayers of the congregation. But if you need to respond in any way, we want you to do that now as we stand and sing this song.